Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
We talk a lot about the future of on this program, Carol, and that's what's on everyone's mind. So I'm really excited to catch up with our next guest. He's someone whose career I followed for quite some time, had a chance to meet him a few times over the years. Talking about Mark Ein, he is the chairman of Castle Systems, joining us on the phone from Washington. He's got his hands in all sorts of different things, including the future of work, the future of sports, and so much more. Mark, really good to have you on the program.
Great to be with you guys.
So let's talk about the workplace first, because there at Castle Systems, you guys have been working on what's essentially a blueprint for what happens next in offices. This is something we are talking about all the time. So break it down. Help us understand what you're thinking about.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, every day you're turning on the TV or reading people's opinions. Everyone's trying to figure out how do we get back to work, but do it safely. And Castle has been the leader in providing managed office security for 50 years. And we didn't see anyone really stepping in trying to think about how do you build a system to get people back to the office in a safe way. And so we've come up with a framework that we think is a really comprehensive way that leverages a lot of existing technology, so you don't have to invent anything. And most importantly, it makes the ecosystem safe for everyone. If you think about an office building, it's comprised of the building, the tenants, the people that work there, and the visitors, and you've really got to make sure that you incorporate a system that addresses all of them, and that's what we've done with Castle Safe Spaces.
So talk to us about, you know, Mark, how our spaces will change, particularly in the workplace, especially as we're going to be afraid to touch things, we're going to be obsessed with washing our hands. So how do things evolve? How do things change? And I'm curious, because it sounds like these will be lasting changes.
Yeah, and I do think, I think a lot of the things that are going to happen are things that actually have a lot of utility even past the age of Corona. So I do think a lot of these will be permanent changes. But we really think about it with four main things. The first is the screening in, screening out process. Most buildings have some, and major cities have some kind of access control that lets you know who should be in and who should be out. By integrating health data, you know who shouldn't be coming to the office at any given time. And through also integrating health data at the point that we have good testing, it also could create an easy way for people to come in who we know are safe. So it starts with screen in, screen out. And then for people who you don't know in advance, you're going to get your temperature taken. If you look overseas where they have opened up their businesses quicker, you see temperature testing is something that's done either with someone taking your temperature or through thermal cameras. So screening in and screening out is the first thing. The second thing, as you mentioned, is touchless. There's so many shared surfaces in an office building. So we see a near future where doors will open automatically when presented with an access device, elevators are called from an app in your phone, doors to your office will open automatically. And in fact, You may have areas that are protected with outdoors, but just alarms that will sound if you don't have the right credentials. So touchless is a big piece of it. Enforcing social distancing, which is something we all talk about, but making sure that you stagger arrivals, that you manage visitor the amount of visitors you have and when they come. And then the last piece is contact tracing. You know, everyone talks about contact tracing, but if you use your access control system 24/7 in a building and you make everyone who comes in log in and log out, which is very easy and not intrusive, and you use the same in tenant spaces, you have a permanent record of who was in the building at any point in time, who was in tenant spaces at any point in time. And if someone turns out that they ended up having coronavirus, you can go back and figure out who was around them at the point that they may have been sick and notify them and tell them to watch, get tested and watch for symptoms. And so all the things I just described actually leverage technology that's here today and that building owners are starting to put into place.
And so, Mark, where does privacy fit into to all of this? I mean, are we just going to have to get used to giving up a certain amount of personal data? And how do we best sort of draw that new line?
Yeah, it's a great question. So first of all, the biggest thing is that health data may get integrated into some of this security system that we're describing. And health data really needs a completely different level of security. And so that's going to be built into the system so that it doesn't reside, for instance, in any companies other than your companies, who knows, shouldn't reside in anyone else's systems. But, you know, look, the trade-off always is always between security and privacy. And if you look at the countries that have managed this the best, they've made that trade-off and they've gone further than we will. And a big question everyone has for the United States is, you know, there's reasonable trade-offs between privacy and security. And I think if we really want to get back to work, we're going to have to make some of those.
How quickly can we make all these changes? Because you're talking about a lot of existing infrastructure, office buildings. And as you say, this is lasting. So how quickly can we change all of this?
Well, I think that's the great thing, that as we started thinking about this, a lot of the things I just mentioned to you, buildings have today. It's just literally a matter of turning them on. You know, turning on 24/7, you know, using your card, your fob, or we have an app that lets people get in. Use that 24/7. Make sure your tenants use a system like that for contact tracing. Touchless systems are easy, too. You can quickly convert doors to electric doors so that when they're presented with a credential, they can open. A lot of the things we talk about are available today. Now, there's next generations of things that we're working on and others are working on that will make the system even quicker, less intrusive, maybe even slightly better. But you don't need to wait for that to make these buildings actually reasonably safe for people to get back to work.
So, Mark, I would love to talk to you a little more broadly about the real estate environment, because, you know, you've invested pretty heavily in real estate over the course of your career, both residential and commercial, and obviously all that we've been talking about really potentially has an impact on not just how commercial real estate works, but the amount of real estate that a company needs at any given time. I feel like we get conflicting reports on we're going to need a much less office space or we're going to need more office space, depending sometimes on who you're talking to and what business they're in. Yeah. Where do you net out on this?
You know, it's a great question, because when this started, my mindset was everyone's like, oh, this is the new way to work. And I was like, show me one person who's happier being at home all the time. And I'll believe that. There's a lot of silver linings to being home, a ton of them. But I think people really have also a desire to be in the same place as their colleagues. But I will say, the longer this drags on, people start to form habits that I think are going to be enduring. I don't think it means people won't go back to work, but I really do believe, as this is stretched on, that a lot of the things, that ways that people are working now are not going to be the permanent way, but they'll be incorporated into that. And yeah, that will have an impact on the amount of space. I would say less. I can't imagine a case where people are going to need more.
Right.
And I think people are going to think about the office as a place to come and collaborate, but maybe more flexibility on being able to work outside of the office when they're working on things where they can do that just as well, if not better. And, you know, the thing about markets is it only takes a small incremental change to change the market, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, if 10 or 20% shifts, that's a gigantic change in the market. And I think there's a really good chance that we're going to see some of these things become permanent.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
So is the era of open floor office space done?
I mean, I think until there's a cure, either a vaccine or a treatment for this, I think that is absolutely the case. And the hope is that that happens. It happens reasonably quickly, and that there's not another one of these behind it. I think if we get to the point where there's a vaccine or a treatment, I think people will go back to that. I don't think we're going to all go back to being our own offices. But until that comes, I think you're not going to see people working in open environments unless there's plexiglass between cubes, which is something that people are going to start using.
So, Mark, I wonder about a place like, you know, your town, Washington, D.C., where, you know, you've got pretty vibrant suburbs, but you've also had a city. I was fortunate enough to go to college there that really has, you know, blossomed in a whole new and different way with a lot of sort of renovation and maybe some gentrification, which is a whole other debate that we'll have another time about sort of the things that have happened in Washington. But I do wonder, you know, as someone who is as deeply involved in that city as you are, how does it change a city like Washington, again, setting politics aside, but just as sort of a physical place?
Yeah, so let's talk about the real Washington, not the Washington that you hear about on the TV, the federal government. The real Washington, which, as you said, has really become a really incredibly vibrant, livable city in the last 10, 20 years. A lot has been built on the backs of an emergence of great restaurants, entertainment venues, and things for people to just have a high quality of life. Obviously, we've always had great museums and performing arts. One of the things that is my greatest concern is the small businesses, and particularly restaurants and entertainment arenas, because that has, in a city like Washington, but it's happened in cities across America, those ecosystems took decades to build, and this is going to be really difficult for many, many, many of those establishments to survive. Even if you get back, very few restaurants are viable on 50% capacity, which is what people are saying. Right. They can't pay the rent on 50% capacity. They can't pay their other expenses. And that's the recommended guidance. And, you know, these are businesses that even with PPP and other things just don't have the capital to withstand a long period where they're out of business. And it's something that I'm part of a group in D.C. that's totally focused on this, because it's such an important issue for quality of life, for employment, for everything in our city, but in so many. And I hope this is something that, you know, political leaders and people in government really focus on, because it is the most vulnerable of the small businesses. It will be the last to come back. There is a misnomer that opening them up at less capacity or just doing delivery is viable, and it really isn't. It's a Band-Aid at best. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's going to take a lot of focus and a good amount of resources to make sure we don't destroy decades of progress in cities like ours.
So we need to talk sports, as Jason teed you up earlier. You know, you are certainly well involved in the sports world, Mark, as well. You are the founder and owner of the Washington Castles franchise and more. So the sports world, we've been having a lot of conversations about that. Certainly big events, sporting events, it's a while before they come back. How do you see it? And what are the conversations, the smart conversations that you're having around this?
Yeah, so we were in the middle of our esports season with the Overwatch League and had gotten off to a great start with our first two weekends. And there was a huge amount of enthusiasm, and we had to put that on pause. The great thing about esports is the season has continued because people can play virtually.
Right.
And so that's actually been a bit of a blessing. The big one I'm focused on is I'm now the owner of the City Open Tennis Tournament, which is the fifth biggest tennis tournament in the United States, but it's actually the first now tennis event back in the world since Wimbledon's been canceled that's on the schedule. And it's the first week in March, and we're trying to figure out if we're going to be able to play it, most realistically, with either no fans or a small number of fans. Now, and I think this is really instructive because this also pertains to a number of our other businesses. On the surface, you can imagine it shouldn't be that hard to test and protect, you know, 100 tennis players, male and female tennis players and their staffs by the time we get to August. That should be. But I will say, when you really peel back the onion and you go layer and layer and layer in what it's going to take to make it absolutely safe, it's much more daunting than it looks at the surface. And I think that's why you see in other sports people saying we're going to be back and we're going to go play in a neutral place or we're going to create these bubbles. And then they get delayed and delayed because the more you dig into it, the harder it is. Now, I do believe there's answers. I believe tennis is a sport that you should be able to play. Whether we can figure it out in August, we've got another month to make that decision, is something we're working day and night on, and a lot of people are working on. I would just say that it's a lot harder because you really do want to make sure it's absolutely safe, and the amount of things that have to come together to create an absolutely safe environment is very complex.
And so who are you?
I will also say that sports is critical to the psychology of our country, and everyone wants it to come back, you know?
Yeah. No, it's a great point. And I mean, and Carol and I have had the good fortune of broadcasting from the U.S. Open for the last few years. And, you know, it's something we look forward to. And I know that City Open is a great run up to that. I mean, I do wonder, Mark, who are you sort of taking your cues from in that regard? Because one thing we know about tennis is it's complicated, to say the least, in terms of the governance and all the decision making. And I know you're probably looking even beyond tennis to things like even what we saw with the UFC over the weekend and the discussions that baseball is having. How do you sort of formulate a strategy? Who are you looking to here?
Yeah, so the good thing about times like this is it really does bring people together. And I'll tell you, the tennis world, I think, is a great example that you kind of described the traditional balkanization of the grand slams, the ATP, the WTA, the governing bodies, et cetera. But in this time, people have really come together to collaborate. And so we're working very closely with the ATP, the WTA, the USTA, and our city to figure out the City Open. And you know, people may or may not have seen, but there's been talk about the men's and women's tours actually merging
right.
as a result of this, which would have a lot of benefit. And it would take a time of crisis to actually force people to think differently. And also the experience of collaborating, which they've been doing, and seeing how well it can work. So I'd say people are working really, really well together. But the bigger point you make, which pertains to everything outside of sports, and to bring back to where we were with why Castle created this framework, is because it's extraordinary to me how there really is a lack of authoritative sources on any of this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spend 7 days a week pretty much all day devouring every bit of information I can either read or talk to experts or participate on calls. And there is no authoritative source on any of this. And the experts can disagree to a huge extent on, for instance, the accuracy of the tests.
Right.
Some experts will tell you the tests, if they're FDA approved and the sample is good, that they are close to 100% accurate. Other real experts will tell you publicly and some privately that there's as much as a 25% false negative.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And this is an issue that I have not seen people as focused on as I would expect, because it is literally extreme opinions from people who are considered the world's experts. And depending on where you come on out on that dramatically changes your projection of where the world's going and how you build systems around it. Because if the test is accurate, you can do one thing. And if it's not, you have to do very different things. And so, again, it's I'd say that's one of the extreme examples, but I'm seeing that in virtually every element of how do you bring people back to work.
It's really interesting. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We could talk to you all afternoon and evening. Mark Ein, what a treat. Thank you so much for spending so much time with us. Chairman of Castle Systems, and so much more, as you just heard him describe.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.